Let's go to the book of 1 Kings, all right? 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Look, one of the greatest things you can do is learn your Bible. Know your Bible. If you got a King old Schofield Bible, that's on page 402, all right? Page 402 in the old Schofield Bible. You said, why do you use that Schofield Bible? Because my dad did. He passed it down to me, and I do it, and because it's every Schofield Bible is laid out exactly the same. Everything is on the same page in every Schofield Bible. And it's on the same place on that same page. So sometimes I can't remember exactly where a scripture is found, but I remember, hey, it's on the right-hand side when the Bible's open, and it's in the right-hand column, kind of up towards the top. And I know about where it's at, so I can find it, all right? So get a Bible that you like, stick with it, okay? Stick with it, it'll be good for you, all right? You're there in 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's read. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Now reading this passage and hearing this passage, thinking about who it's involved, might cause you to wonder, what in the world is there here that can make application to my life? The truth of the matter is, none of us have the riches that were Solomon's. None of us have that. I mean, we can't touch that kind of money. I'm pretty sure nobody here has 700 spouses. I'm pretty sure. And much less 300 concubines, all right? I mean, how in the world? Every time I think of this, I think of an old poem that I heard that was a takeoff of a famous poem. There is, that poem says, breathes there the man with soul so tough who will not say one woman is enough. Man, then how in the world would you want 700 wives? You say, preacher, how in the world, what is there in this chapter that applies to me? Well, truthfully, there is a danger here that is spoken of, that each of you and I are faced with pretty much on a daily basis. We have to confront it. And that is the matter of our heart getting turned away from God. All right? Our heart getting turned away from God. So there's help for us here if we'll just take a look. So I want to preach to you on the tragedy caused by turning. Look, if Solomon could turn, then we're all a great target. So why do you say that? Well, go back to chapter 10, verse 23, would you? Chapter 10 of 1 Kings, verse 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches. Now, that's not the important part. It's that next two words, all right, or three words, and for wisdom. Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for wisdom. He was a man of great wisdom. Now, when we talk about wisdom, we're not just talking about intelligence. We're not just talking about smarts, okay? Or book learning, maybe we would put it. There have been numerous people in this world with very high IQs that had no wisdom. They had no wisdom. My brother and I, we had an uncle. He had a PhD. He was a college professor. But if there's one thing the man lacked, he lacked wisdom. Now, he was a good guy. We loved him. I enjoyed talking to him, but he had no wisdom, all right? Because he married my aunt. No, we won't go there, all right? He wisdom was not something that he had, all right? But, man, here's Solomon, all right? Had that wisdom. You can have great IQ, but not have any wisdom. Give you a couple of examples that are pretty well known. There's a fellow by the name of Isaac Asimov. Stephen Hawking. Brilliant, brilliant individuals intellectually. But they had no common wisdom. They had no common wisdom. They didn't have, they were bereft of that wisdom because they said there is no God. Solomon, the wisest king of his day, considered to be the wisest man in the world, if such a man could get his heart turned away from God, then me and you, with run-of-the-mill, if you will, wisdom, it could happen to us. Hey, Solomon's a man that had at one time a wonderful, marvelous relationship with God. Amazing relationship with God. And given the opportunity and given the chance to pray, God said, look, you pray, I'll give you whatever you want. Whatever you'll request of me, I'll give it to you. And what Solomon prayed for was the wisdom to rule his people. And so God said, I'll give that to you. I'll give that to you. But I'll also give you a lot more. Here's a man who had a great relationship with God at one time. Very wise man, but yet his heart got turned away from his God. If that can happen to him, surely it can happen to me and you. All right? It can happen to me and you. And I want you to see it this way. His heart was turned when he was at the very top. When he was at the very top. Chapter 10 records first the greatness of Solomon. The wealth, all right? As far as what kings desire, he had it. He had it. He was at the top of his game. He had peace. He had prosperity. He had provisions. He had power. He had great prestige. And the truth of the matter is, we like those things. We like those things. Not only that, he had fame, and a lot of people today want fame. His fame spread around the world. As I said, he was at the top of his game. He was in the prime of his life. His kingdom was strong. Everything was there. Hey, but friend, can I say this to you? It's when life is going so well that Satan often strikes. It's when you're on that mountaintop. Boy, you've just had a mountaintop experience. That's when Satan sets you up as a target and comes after you. Because, man, your guard is down. Your guard is down. You've lowered it. You're not thinking of it. But that's why the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're to be vigilant. We're to be on our toes. Satan often strikes when we're there. Everything seems to be going our way. That's the time you really, really need to load up and be careful. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, would you? There in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, speaks to this situation we're talking about. It. The Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Hey, when you're right there and everything's going good and everything's coming your way, look out. Look out. Satan's got his target on you. He'll be coming for you. That was the case with Solomon. He was at the top of his game. Things were going great, all right? Things were just moving along in a wonderful deal. He said, well, what in the world happened to him? Same thing that happens to us. Hey, he turned because of his disregard for the truth. For the truth. Look, Solomon knew the truth. Solomon knew the truth. What is said here in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2? The Bible said he took wives, all right? He loved many strange women. Now, by that, the Bible does not mean weird, okay? I see some women that look pretty strange sometimes. But we're not talking about weird, all right? We're talking, and the word strange is they were not Israelites. And he talks about them women of the Moabites, women of the Ammonites, Edomites, Hittites, Zidonians, the daughter of Pharaoh, an Egyptian. He said, what's wrong with that? Verse 2, it was the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. That you're not to have any part with them. Hold your place here, but let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Now I said he turned because of his disregard for the truth. Deuteronomy 17. All right, Deuteronomy 17. Don't you look at verse 15 so you know exactly what we're talking to. Verse 15 says, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee. So he's talking about kings. And in verse 16, he says this to the kings. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Listen, God's laid some things out in his word. You want to get yourself messed up, you just disregard what he says. You want to get in a bad way, then disregard what he says. Solomon knew what the Bible said. Solomon had that portion of the scripture. He had the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He had those books available to him, all right? And he disregarded what God told him. He married the wrong people. Talk about 700 wives. Look, can I just say this to you? Not really the message, but polygamy was never part of the plan of God for man. Never the part of the plan of God for man. The plan of God for man is found in the book of Genesis in chapter 2 and 3. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's the plan of God. That's the plan. Hey, our world's got so wicked today that now I hear people saying, well, you know, probably never intended for man to be monogamous. That is a lie straight out of hell. Lie straight out of hell. Hey, look, God intended for a man and a woman to be husband and wife, the two be one flesh. Never intended for you to have multiple partners, multiple wives, multiple husbands. God never intended that. When you violate that, you bring trouble on yourself. You bring trouble on yourself. Solomon brought trouble upon himself because he disregarded what God said. You cannot compromise the truth and expect to keep your heart right with God. Can't do that. It's impossible. Solomon consistently gave in to sin when what he should have done was said no. No. Now, if you're familiar with history, it was in those days one of the things that kings did, and they would marry and take wives from other lands to secure the relationship with that other country. That has been done through the millennia, okay? But it's not right. Hey, it ever occurred to you just because people do it doesn't make it right? Well, it happens all the time. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right. Hey, we violate the Word of God. We consistently sin. When you do that, hey, it causes you to mess your relationship up with God. And every time you surrender to sin, what you're doing is slowly turning away from God. Slowly turning away from Him, His will, and His way that He'd have you live. You make those compromises, and you excuse yourself. You justify your sin. You justify your disobedience. You'll get yourself in trouble. Been a multitude of men justified their actions with women other than their own wife by, well, she ain't treating me right. There may be a reason she ain't treating you right, okay? Now, I'm not defending either side of that coin, because don't think it's defendable. But the thing you and I should do is not seek to justify our wrong. What we need to do is find out what's right and do it. What is right? I'm going to do what's right to do. 44 years ago, this May, I stood here and my wife walked down. Well, she wasn't my wife then, but she walked down this aisle, and that day she became my wife. And since that day, we've never had a difference. Now you laugh because you know better. Because we're two people. We're two different people. But I'm be honest with you. We stood here and we said for better or for worse. Sometimes it's worse. Now I'll be honest, most times been better. Better, definitely. But hey, that is not perfection. She doesn't have a perfect husband. And not by a long stretch of the imagination. But we made a commitment. We made a commitment. And my commitment, I'm going to do what I ought to do as a husband. We're going to do what we should do. I'm going to do what God commands me to do. Hey, you and I are to find out what's right to do, and that's what we're to do. That's the way, hey, when you start compromising that, it's easy to get your heart turned away from the truth. Third, next thing I want you to realize is Solomon got in trouble because he trucked with the wrong crowd. He just trucked with the wrong people. Now, you'll go back there in the scriptures, okay? 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, it's real plain. It says it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. It was his wives. Solomon could have said what Adam tried to say. Lord, it's that woman you gave me. The only trouble is that woman was not the woman God gave Solomon. He didn't give those women to him. Solomon took them, all right? And they were pagan idol worshipers, and they caused him to turn in that direction. I've known a multitude of many people that have turned in the wrong direction, and that is away from God by their spouse. Their spouse caused them to turn away from God. All right? That happened to them. Now, let me just park it right here just for a second. For those of you who are not married, listen up. God's given real plain directions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Hey, for you that are not married, you need to be doubly careful. You never consider marrying anyone who is not born again believer. Never do that. Never do that. I mean, that means you don't date them or court them or however you want to say it, all right? You don't do it. Hey, you ought to never date anybody you could not marry. I dated several girls in that span of my life. I never dated any that I could not have married. Now, did you say, well, preacher, do you want to marry all of them? No. I married to the one I wanted to marry. But I didn't date anybody I could not have scripturally married. You ought to never date anybody you can't scripturally marry. Hey, let me just throw this in. You ought to never get married. You ought to never get engaged if you're out of the will of God. Don't do it if you're out of the will of God. All right? For those of you who are married, you're stuck. They're stuck with you. They're stuck with you. All right? You said, preacher, I'm married to somebody who is lost. I married wrong, and my spouse is lost. If there's one place you ought to be constantly is on your knees then, begging God that that individual get saved. You ought to beg God for that end. Beg God to that end that that spouse would get saved. Now listen, I'm not an advocate if you're married and your husband beats you that you stay in that home and get beaten. I'm not an advocate if you're married and your wife beats you, men, that you ought to stay there and get beat, all right? But I'm saying to you, there's a right way to do things. If you're married, you ought to do everything you can do to stay married, especially if you've got children. They need a mom and dad. They need a mom and dad that love each other. You say, well, I just don't love them. Well, have you tried it? You did at one point. I decided to love my wife. We got married. This is true. At that time, it was a problem. It's no longer a problem. They've changed toothpaste tubes. But my wife grabbed that thing in the middle and squeezed it. I don't know how you could be so twisted. But I didn't know that till we got married. What'd you do? I decided to live with it. I bought her toothpaste tube and I bought my tube. Hey, I squeezed it from the end, you know, and rolled it up. Hey. But they're minor things, yeah, but I'm amazed at how many people lose it over minor things. Minor things. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. You do everything you ought to do for your spouse scripturally. You be the scriptural husband you ought to be. You be the scriptural wife you ought to be. Now, I do not have time this morning to preach that message. But I want you to stick with them, all right? You do what you should. Because you get in trouble when you truck with the wrong folks, all right? You start running with the wrong crowd, you're going to get in the wrong place. You will wind up wrong. Hey, it doesn't have to be a spouse. You get your heart turned away from God because you run with the wrong people. Notice what the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look down in verse 11, if you would. If you don't want to turn, would you listen closely, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says this, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat." You don't run with that crowd. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look in verse 33 with me. You say, why? What's the problem? 1 Corinthians 15, 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Hey, you run with people, you begin to act like those people you run with. You begin to do what they do. It'll affect you. It'll affect you. You said, not me. Oh, yeah, you. Yeah, that's why the Bible said you don't run with that crowd. Now, it doesn't say you can't be friendly. You can. You can be friends, friendly, but not friends. You can witness to them. You can pray for them. You can warn them, but you don't run with them. You don't run with them. And alive, stay out of that crowd. Hey, here's Solomon's trouble. It was the people that he ran with. It was all those wives that turned his heart. All those wives that turned his heart away from God. Hey, he turned because he didn't apply what he knew. He didn't apply what he knew. We can look at it and we can think, here he is, that man of great wisdom. Preacher, you've already said he had the wisdom. He knew what was right. But he didn't do what was right. All right? He had the wisdom, but he did not apply that wisdom in his own life. The truth of the matter is, he wrote much of the book of Proverbs. I want to say this to you. You take the book of Proverbs and live by what that book says, it'll be an amazing thing in helping your life. But Solomon knew all of those things, but he didn't apply that to his own life. And I'm amazed at how many people know what's right. They know what they ought to do, but they just won't do what's right. Yeah, I know I shouldn't have done that. Well, why'd you do it? Well, and why did he? He lacked the will to do right. Hey, can I tell you, that's what happens to you when you hang around with so much of the wrong crowd. It affects you. You have a will, but your will doesn't want to give in and stay firm and do what's right. Instead, your will gets pulled by them. You get pulled in the wrong direction. And you find yourself messed up. You find yourself a long way from what God wants you to be. Hey, he turned because he just flat out didn't know what, he didn't do what he knew was right. I'm amazed, and I believe this. I believe most people know what's right to do. Not everybody, but most people know what's right to do. They just decide not to do it. Just won't do what they should. Hey, you need to do what's right. You have to make that decision. Better way to have to be able to do what's right is get out of the crowd that's doing wrong. Run with a different bunch. Just don't hang with them. If you're hanging with a crowd that curses, you're going to curse probably. We can just go on and on with that. There's a family friend. He was at my mom's funeral. My mom taught him when he was a teenager in Sunday school. Name's Jesse Payton. Jesse Payton is Georgia through and through. He talks Georgian. All right? I visited him. Stayed with him in his house for a couple of days. Got back to Texas. I found myself talking like Jesse talked. It just rubbed off on me. Now, thank God it was good, all right? Nothing wrong with a good southern accent, all right? But, it rubbed off. It rubs off on you. I want you to see this, all right? The last thing I want you to see. Verse 4 said it came to pass when Solomon was what? Old. It came to pass when Solomon was old that it happened. Sometimes us older folks can have a tendency to look down on the younger when and if they get messed up and they get turned aside, and we want to pass harsh judgment on them. Boy, this is a warning to you and I who are no longer the youngsters. You are not immune. You're not immune. David, King David, probably about 50 when he sinned with Bathsheba. Boy, definitely old enough to know better. But he did it in his old age. Hey, Solomon was a senior citizen when he did what he did, the Bible says. He was old. Hey, you need to watch out for pride. You're here, you're older. You're here, you're older. You've got some mileage on you. There's a lot more behind you than there is ahead of you. A lot more behind than ahead. You watch out. You be careful about pride. You be careful about self-overconfidence. You be careful of that know-it-all attitude. You be careful of saying, "Well, never happened to me." Can happen to you. What happened to one can happen to anyone. Anyone. Don't get that idea. Now hear me, hear me. You're a youngster. Anybody under 40, you're a youngster, okay? You're young today. It can happen to you. It can happen to you. You're old. Happen to you, your heart can get turned aside too. But it only happens if you let it. It only happens if you let it happen. It's not something that, well, I couldn't help myself. Yeah, you could. Solomon could have helped himself. He didn't have to disobey the word of God. He didn't have to marry all those women. It wasn't necessary. Didn't have to do it. Hey, he had his position was secure without all of those treaties by marriage, okay? His position was secure. He didn't have to do what he did, all right? Hey, I want to ask you, if you're here, is your heart right with God tonight? Your heart right with God this morning? Is it right with Him? If it's not, this is the place to get it fixed. This place to get it fixed. This is the place. Hey, and you know what? This is the time. Don't say, "I'll be here next week." No, this is the time. Get it fixed now. Get it fixed now. And let me say this to you. If you're here this morning and you've never been born again, you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, there's no way your heart can be right with God. Because you're alienated from God. You're alienated from Him. I want to ask you this morning, how do you want it to be? Solomon, you said, "Man, if I was rich like that, I wouldn't matter." You haven't read the rest of the chapter. haven't read the rest of the chapter. Because Solomon's sin affected those who followed him. Your heart gets turned away, it's going to affect those after you. Specifically, it's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your children. Your heart turned away from God, it's going to affect your kids. It's going to affect how they turn out. It's going to affect your grandchildren. It'll affect maybe other family members, brothers, sisters, cousins. It can affect them. It can affect those friends that you value highly. Hey, what do you want? If your heart's not right with God, if you're here this morning and you honestly, you look and you say, you know, I've been allowing my heart to get turned away from God. Would you fix it today? Would you come back to Him? Would you come back to Him today? Hey, listen, you just need to meet with Him, this old-fashioned altar. Just meet with Him here at these steps, or if you can't kneel, have a seat at the front pew. He said, well, I'd rather do it right where I am. Yeah, you need to humble yourself, though, before God. Boy, that helps you. Just helps you. Hey, is your heart right? Let's get it fixed today. Let's get it fixed. Don't push it off. Don't wait longer. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's the beginning. Never have a heart right with God without being born again. The question is, will you come today? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Have the opportunity this morning to make things right. Will you do it? Will you do it? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. Lord, what happened to Solomon did not have to happen. It happened because he made some bad decisions. Lord, it happened because he decided to disregard what You had said. It happened, Lord, because he refused to do what You wanted the way You wanted it done. Lord, would You deal with us today? Deal with every heart that's here. Lord, if folks need to come, would You help them to come today? Lord, if that one's here that's lost, never trusted Christ, would You give them the courage to walk this aisle, meet me here at the front, take my hand and say, I want to trust Christ today. Lord, those that are here that are saved but they're getting pulled away, would You bring them back today? I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning, page 17. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. God's dealing with you. Would you come this morning?